Thank you, Ron. I want you to turn in your Bibles to John 14, probably the most famous, prominent scripture on heaven is John 14, the words of Jesus. So John 14, and we'll look at verses 1 through 6. The Gallup poll in 2007 said that 81% of Americans claim they believe in heaven, that there's a heaven. I wish they lived like that, but 81% say they believe in it. We always have jokes about heaven where St. Peter meets people at the gate of heaven. I don't know where they got that from, but anyway, this lawyer dies and goes to heaven. And St. Peter meets him at the gate, and he says, "We're glad to have you here. We have a nice mansion for you ready over the senior citizen part of heaven." And the lawyer says, "But I'm only 32 years old." And Peter says, "Oh, we were going by the number of hours you billed." This man dies and goes to heaven, and St. Peter greets him and starts questioning him. Have you blasphemed? Have you cursed? Have you smoked? Have you drunk? You know, have you lied? Have you cheated? Have you stolen? Have you played cards? "No, I've never done any of those things." Peter says, "What took you so long?" But let's look at John 14, beginning of verse 1. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." What I want to do this morning is briefly do 12 points about heaven. So if you have a roast in the oven, I don't know if it's going to burn or not, but we'll get through it quickly. All right. The first thing is vocalization about heaven. We sing about heaven, we talk about heaven, and we do it a lot. And we did it this morning. The first major Baptist confession of faith was the Baptist Confession of 1689. And this is what they wrote. "The bodies of men after death return to dust and see corruption, but their souls, which neither die nor sleep, having an immortal subsistence, immediately return to God who gave them. The souls of the righteous, being then made perfect in holiness, are received into paradise, where they are with Christ and behold the face of God in light and glory, waiting for the full redemption of their bodies." The Christian concept of heaven from the Bible. We sing about it, hymns like "Face to Face with Christ My Savior, Face to Face What Will It Be, When with Rapture I Behold Him, Jesus Christ Who Died for Me," or "On Jordan's Stormy Banks I Stand and Cast a Wishful Eye to Canaan's Happy Land Where My Possessions Lie," or "Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place." Or "There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we shall see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by." So we vocalize it. People that aren't saved devalue it. The devaluation of heaven. I'm thinking about communism, which is atheistic. Yuri Gagarin, the first cosmonaut, he went up into space, and when he came down, of course, he had to take a slap at Christianity. He said, "I was up in space, and I didn't see God. I didn't see heaven anywhere." Well, you know, the eye of faith is what sees the hand of God. Philosophy, Alfred North Whitehead, the father of analytical philosophy, which is total garbage to me. As for, and if you ask me, I'll tell you what I really think, okay? "As for Christian theology, can you ever imagine anything more appallingly idiotic than the Christian idea of heaven? Someone asked me in class one day, what do you think happened to Dr. Whitehead? And I said, I think he died and went to hell. That's what I think happened to him. A.J. Auer, who was professor of logic at Oxford University when I was there. There is no evidence for the existence of God. Of course, if there's no evidence for the existence of God, then it is utterly foolish to talk about such a thing as heaven. Astronomers who are atheists. I've looked through my telescope all over the solar system. I've never seen a place called heaven up there in the sky. Liberalism. Rudolf Bultmann, member of the Lutheran Church in Germany. Everything's a myth. The gospel's a myth. Jesus is a myth. Heaven is a myth. The dean of St. Paul's Cathedral in London, one of the biggest honchos in the Episcopal Church in England. Heaven is a superstition, a myth, an outworn concept. Then you have universalism. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote the book on death and dying. When everybody dies, everybody sees a bright light, so there's got to be a heaven. Everybody goes to the light. Jane Eadie, that wrote the book Embraced by the Light, which is a combination of Mormonism and New Age. Everybody sees the light, so everybody goes to heaven. And then the shack, where hell is a place where people suffer and learn they've done wrong before they go to heaven. Interesting. So the devaluation of heaven. Well, what about the location of heaven? Shamayim, the Hebrew word for heaven, means sky. It's the same word in Ugaritic, Akkadian, Aramaic, and Arabic. Uranos is the Greek word for heaven. It can mean the atmosphere over the earth, or it can be that which is beyond the atmosphere, the kingdom of heaven. Jeremiah 14:21 says, do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. So that's what heaven is called, God's throne. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, I say unto you, swear not by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, which is his footstool. And Jesus was quoting Isaiah 66:1, which says, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. So heaven is the throne of God. It is where God rules from. He is called the Most High God because he rules from up there. Genesis 14:18, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. He blessed Abraham and said, blessed be Abram, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hands. God is El Elyon, the Most High God, the God that is the highest God. Daniel 3, Nebuchadnezzar, he threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace. And it says, he stood near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and said unto Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. God rules from the heavens. Daniel 4:1, Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all people, nations, and languages, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought unto me. So God is a high God. He rules from on high. That's the location of heaven. What about the habitation of heaven? It is the throne or habitation of God. Exodus 15:13, God lives there. Exodus 15:13, thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed, and thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. God lives there. The duration of heaven. How long is heaven going to last? Well, 1 Peter talks about that. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten again unto us a living hope, lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Incorruptible. It's not temporary. It's eternal. It doesn't rust undefiled. It's untainted by sin. It is pure. There is no pollution. There is no sorrow. Unfading, it glows and glitters and shines just as much 100 trillion years from now as it does now. And it is reserved, specially set aside. You have a ticket to heaven and it cannot be canceled. Incorruptible, undefiled, unfading, reserved. What's the rationalization of heaven? Immanuel Kant said, if there is a God, and God is a good God, then God has to reward good people. And it's obvious that good people don't always get their reward in this life, so it's just logical to believe that they will get a reward in the next life. There is a rationalization and logic about there being a heaven. What's the population of heaven? Well, there's angels and seraphims and cherubims in heaven. And suddenly with the angel was a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and singing, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill unto men. But we're going to be there too. And I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Mark 13:32, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven. Who's in heaven? Angels. Who's in heaven? Redeemed people. Neither the Son, but the Father. The sanctification of heaven. The Bible teaches that we have a taste of heaven on earth. Ron sang about John W. Peterson's song, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. Psalm 91:1 says, they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It is possible to have a taste of heaven on earth through our salvation. The Bible says, Jesus taught us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're supposed to obey God on the earth like everyone will obey God who is in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Ephesians 5 times says that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, even as we live in this world. What about the occupations of heaven? We're going to have jobs to do. God, you know, this old idea of you're going to sit around on a cloud and play a harp. Let me tell you, I think people harp enough down here, all right? It's not about sitting on a cloud playing a harp, all right? Revelation 19:1. After these things, I heard a great voice of many people before the throne in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. Verse 4, the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne saying, Amen, Alleluia. A voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. We're going to praise God in heaven. We're going to serve God in heaven. Revelation 22:3 says, his servant shall serve him. We're going to have fellowship in heaven. Hebrews 12:23 says that we are coming to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. We're going to rest in heaven. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, for they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. We're going to have authority in heaven. Psalm 2:8 talks about, ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thy inheritance and the uttermost parts of the world for thy reward. And I think that can also be a missionary verse. I think when we talk about missions around the world, we need to claim that verse. Ask of me and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. I think we need to pray for more heathen to be saved. We're having great reports of many, many Muslims turning to Jesus. And more of them need to turn to Jesus, especially the ones that are trying to kill us. But anyway, we are going to learn in heaven. Our education doesn't stop when we die. 1 Corinthians 13, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then we shall know, even as we are known. We're going to worship, we're going to serve, we're going to fellowship, we're going to rest, and we're going to learn in heaven, the occupations of heaven. What about the condition in heaven? What are we going to be like? Well, I'm going to put in for a skinny body. But what's our condition in heaven? Number one, it's a refuge. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, the soul returns to the God who made it. 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus told the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. We retain our identity. We will know each other in heaven. It's reunion with loved ones. How do we know that? Does the Bible say that? Well, it says in Genesis 25:8 that Abraham was gathered to his people. And I take that literally. He was gathered to his family. He was gathered to his friends. Abraham was gathered to his people. In heaven, we're only going to remember the good things. Now, I asked a guy one time, he was saying that, and I said, well, how do you know we're only going to remember the good things? He said, because there's going to be no sorrow in heaven. There are not going to be any tears after God wipes them away. So obviously, we're not going to remember the bad things. Isaiah 65:16, that he who blessed himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. He that sweareth on the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. We're not going to remember the bad things, only the good things. There'll be rejoicing in heaven. And we're going to have a reconditioned body. Praise Jesus. You know, my hip hurt me yesterday. That's not going to happen in heaven, all right? John MacArthur said, we will forever be who we are now, only without any of our faults and any of our infirmities. James Montgomery Boyce said, we will see each other not as we are now, but as God always meant us to be. We're going to know each other in heaven, yeah, but we're going to be perfected in heaven. Justin Martyr said, and he was taught by the disciples, the souls of the pious remain in a better place, while those of unjust and wicked are in a worse place. And that's the way it's going to be. Now, that's our condition in heaven, number nine. Number 10, what's our compensation in heaven? There is a reward in heaven. You know, there are wages for what we do. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. There is great reward in heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. There is a reward. There are treasures in heaven. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth doth not corrupt and thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And there is a kingdom waiting for us in heaven. Matthew 25, 34. Blessed are ye, enter into the kingdom of our Lord. There is a kingdom. So there's a compensation in heaven. Number 11, there's a culmination of heaven, because there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Hebrews 11:10 said, all those heroes of the faith we studied on Sunday night, It says they look for a city whose builder and ruler was God. And I thought about Perry when I read this. The New Jerusalem is supposed to be a 1,400-mile cube. Okay. If you take a story to be 12 feet high, that's 600,000 stories high, the new heaven, and that would hold billions and billions of people. Will everybody fit in heaven? Yeah, everybody believes in Jesus will fit in heaven. That's for sure. We are citizens of heaven while we are down here, Philippians 3:20. For your citizenship is in heaven, where from we look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is already in heaven, and we are supposed to contemplate heaven. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We are to think about the things of heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then there's the direction to heaven. We go back to where we started from this morning, guys. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's as simple as ABC. You have to accept the fact that you're a sinner. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10:13, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And we have to confess it, that we believe. If you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, he will. He'll forgive your sins and he'll give you peace with God. That's the direction to heaven. Dr. Linsky, a great, great Greek scholar, Lutheran scholar, said, the heaven and earth as we know them in the universe, grand and wonderful indeed, yet sadly disturbed by sin and evil, invaded by the dragon, the beast, the lamb beast, the whore, full of the kings of the earth and the dwellers of the earth, all having but anti-Christian earth thoughts, went away and disappeared. Behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. The newness of the heaven and of the earth shall be like our own. We shall be the same persons and have the same body and the same soul that we now have, but these will be made entirely new. Our newness begins with being born again, regeneration. According to the scriptures, call a creation of God so that we are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man believe in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. After our body and soul are glorified, we shall be new created indeed. The same will be true with regard to the new heaven and the new earth. And I'm going to stop reading there. It's good stuff. Let me tell you something. Heaven is real. Heaven is real. And you have a couple of choices. You can choose to go, you can choose not to go, and it's entirely up to you based on what you choose to believe and put your faith in this life. Eileen and I were listening to Erwin Lutzer yesterday on the radio, the pastor of Moody Church, and he went to the Museum of the Parliament of Religions. 1898, they had the World Parliament of Religions in Chicago, Illinois. And all the religions, the great religions, were represented there with speakers who taught about their religions. So he went to the museum and he looked at all the founders of the great religions. Every one of them was a great teacher of religion, but only one was sinless. Only one claimed to die for everybody else's sins. Only one person claimed to give people freedom from guilt and give them eternal life, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus stands out different from everybody else. Napoleon said one time, there's Alexander the Great and Napoleon the Great, but he said, when you read the Bible, Jesus is not the great, Jesus is the only. There's only one Jesus, and there's only one man who ever claimed the things that Jesus claimed, that he was God and could forgive sins. And that's what we believe in, and Jesus is the ticket to heaven. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so we believe that this morning. That's what the Bible teaches, and if you've never done that, We ask you to do that as we sing our invitation hymn. We're going to sing hymn number 312, Softly and Tenderly. Hymn number 312. So let's stand together. Let's sing that.